Welcome to the Linked Up Church podcast. We are passionate about connecting people to God, family, purpose, and community. Today, Pastor Trish Gregory continues in her life-changing series entitled Resisting Arrest. Get your pen and your pad ready, and let's go into the worship center and hear what God has for us today.
Okay, quick review. As I told you on last week, for those of you that were here, this is a continuation. I am not ministering the same message at both services. This is a continuation, so it's a four-part series, and I encourage you, if you haven't already done it, if you didn't listen to first service, listen to first service last week. If you didn't listen to second service, listen to second service last week. In the meantime, we're picking up on a third service, but I will offer you a quick review. Number one, we're entitling this as Resisting Arrest. How many of you here were here to hear my little testimony? All right. So what's funny is that I said it, and I prepared this message a long time ago. I wasn't even thinking about my calendar. And so on Friday, I was at the University of Michigan at my nephew's graduation, who just graduated from the University of Michigan School of Business, Ross School of Business. Very proud of him as a lead scholar. Hey, Christopher. And I'm really proud of him because he did this being raised a Michigan State Spartan. My sister-in-law is a graduate. My brother attended there, so he even knew the better school. I'm gonna leave that alone. All right. And so in that, I was charged with resisting arrest as well as assaulting a police officer and violating code of colors. Okay, so what does this have to do with what we're ministering on? We're talking about resisting the arrest of the Holy Spirit. We know that he is constantly leading us. He said our foundational scripture is John chapter 16, verse 8, and then verse 13. And it says, and when he comes, being the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of his sins and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. He goes on to say in verse 13 that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide us into the full truth. He won't speak of his own. He will speak what he hears, and he will tell you things to come. If you are a born-again Christian, he is always trying to direct you in the way of truth. He is always trying to order your steps in the way of victory. And when we resist that, especially in the face of temptation, agitation, frustrations, and disappointments, then we find ourselves in situations that were beyond what we were expecting. Because we can control us, but we can't control what? Other people, right? We understand, we've been talking about how believers must understand the power of conviction, the arrest of the Holy Spirit, and his leadership. This furthers our relationship with God, learning to sense him in everyday life. If you are a born-again Christian, he is always with you. He said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. This teaching is meant to help you gain an understanding of one of Holy Spirit's roles in your life and to further grow your connectivity to God and people. God's perfect will is that you live above sin, full of faith and godly knowledge, and totally trust in him in every area of your life. Now, I'll say something that I didn't say last time. This message was birthed out of me needing to grow up. Amen. And this wasn't 20 years ago. This wasn't 10 years ago. This wasn't 5 years ago. I dare to say this was probably within the last year. While y'all walking around here calling me Pastor Trish. Right? Because I realized I got some growing up to do. Right? We all do. We're talking about four questions. We already spoke to one question, and what is the chastening of the Lord or the arrest of the Holy Spirit? And we read from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 through 4, verse 7, verses 10 through 17, 23 and 25 in the God's Word translation. And then we talked about the chastening of the Lord, asserting these five facts, that God does not rid us of the temptation of sin, though he is not the permitter or the presenter of sin. Number two, that grace may run out, but mercy is always available if we receive it with repentance. Number three, although our conscience is earthly, it does serve as a moral compass, being good or bad, judging our good or bad moral standing. Number four, the chastening of the Lord is not always connected to sin. When things happen to folks, I just don't like them. What did they do to deserve that? What happened to them? They must have did this. They must have did that. No, it's not always resulted in sin. Number five, there is mercy for sin or wrong done, but the consequences of sin may very much be unavoidable. All right, so now we're going to pick up with the second question, and that is, how do we grow in the chastening or the arrest of the Holy Spirit? How do we grow in the chastening? For 2 Peter, I started here in the second service last week, but I'm going to pick up here for this sake. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11 in the BSB version says, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith," as if faith ain't enough. But he says, add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is truth. Simply put, virtue is excellence. The root, the Greek root word of virtue is excellence. So whatever you do, you want it to do, you want to do it to the best of your ability. Now, the scripture addresses the trifold being of man. It addresses our physical stance, it addresses our mental and emotional stance, and it addresses our spiritual stance. So not only is he talking about pursuing virtue or excellence in our spiritual well-being, as in pursuing and studying the Word of God, spending time in prayer and fasting, but he's also talking in our mental, making sure that we are mentally and emotionally pursuing excellence, that we are in autocorrect mode all the time. Sometimes Grammarly makes me mad. I said what I said, and that's what I wanted to say in this script. Stop trying to correct me, right? But sometimes in our interactions with people or in our interactions with life, we have an emotional and a mental response first, right? And then we, if and the spiritually mature will arrest that and say, okay, we'll yield to Holy Spirit and say, okay, hold up. Pause. Now, I have been so guilty of responding first. I could just fall out on the ground right now. I mean, it's as recent as last Friday, y'all. Responding first, and I just... But some people just can't unhear things, right? No, no one can unhear something, right? So adding to your faith virtue or excellence or truth, and adding to that truth knowledge. Knowledge of the Word of God for our spiritual well-being. But even whatever you're pursuing, if you're pursuing something by faith, you have scripture to stand on, right? But you always want to have the knowledge of that subject that you're pursuing by faith. If you're believing God for a house, how many of you know you just don't up and say, I want this 5-bedroom, 3-garage, 5.5-bathroom house, and you making $40,000 a year? You don't know what your credit score is. You don't know your qualifications, your debt to income ratios. You want to have knowledge, right? Amen. And then adding to your knowledge, self-control. Oh, this is where we fall out. Self-control. Meaning no matter what someone did to trigger you, just keeping your mouth shut will keep you out of trouble. Just controlling your mouth. What is that James said? That in that tongue holds a mighty wicked fire. We just take a deep breath. You know, everybody right now, just take a deep breath and let it all out. That's enough time to just control your tongue. Just don't say anything. Proverbs says, even the foolish man, when he holds his tongue, seems wise. And then adding to self-control, perseverance. We don't retire, we refire. Even in the simple tasks, even in the simple things, we have to persevere. We have to be diligent. If you're believing God for something, you're expecting God to show up, you got to keep showing up. Whenever we're ministering and counseling to people, I know I often tell people, I'm going to give you homework to do. And if I give you that homework, don't come back to see me until you finished it. Because I can't want your victory more than you want your victory. So in that perseverance, we find out some things. In that perseverance, there is affliction. In that perseverance, there is attacks. In that perseverance, there is disappointments. But scripture also tells us that the godly man may fall down seven times, but he always gets up. Adding to that, self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. Godliness. Now, that godliness in all versions is in the lowercase g. So what is he talking about? Adding to that perseverance, holiness. Holiness. Listen, he's talking about abstaining from sex, but holiness ain't just, for some reason, people think when you say, oh, you so holy, they think of you talking about just abstaining from sex. Holiness is abstaining from sin. And holiness is not a stature. It's not a look down your nose. Actually, holiness is a meekness and a humility that says, my God has been too good for me to disappoint him. I love my husband. I adore that round ball head. I was missing him. I found myself just keeping busy. Just me and the dog. But me honoring him, he's second in that. He's the benefactor of my honor towards God. I know that I am the benefactor of his love towards God. Of course, I love him enough to not want to ever hurt him. It is never my intention to hurt him. I will never cheat on him. I will never misbehave towards him. I won't do those things. Yes, because I don't want to hurt him, but most importantly, because I don't want to hurt God. But see, God sees me wherever I am and whatever I'm doing, he don't. Holiness, godliness, right? For you wise, Proverbs 31 talks about how she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's just a little nugget right there. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Now, if you notice that as he's listing this in 2 Peter chapter 1, that it's going from inner man and it's slowly moving outward. Slowly moving outward. Slowly moving outward. So to godliness, godliness. Now, brotherly kindness. Being kind to everyone. How many of you have been here when I taught on kindness versus niceness? So I want you to answer this. Nice is what? Oh, yeah. They say it was too long ago, right? We can be nice. Not saying anything, not doing anything to hurt people's feelings. And all too often, we excel at being nice. We don't excel at being kind. And what is being kind? Being honest in love, being forbearing, enduring, right? If someone has body odor, I use the examples. I had someone that kept crossing my path that had bad, bad body odor. And she was as sweet as she could be. Now, being nice was this is when I was working at another facility way long time ago. This is 30 years ago. Being nice was the people that didn't say anything to her face but was talking about her behind her back. I chose to be kind in my behavior, and I went and talked to her. Says, listen, sweetie, you know, I called her name, and I said, you know, I know you probably don't realize this, but you have body odor, and I don't want to say anything behind your back that I'm not willing to say to your face. So you might want to go check that. That was being kind. Now, I'm not telling you, you got to be led. Don't go telling somebody they stink. But being kind is always being helpful. But being truthful at the same time. All right? And to brotherly kindness, finally, love. Love. The selfless quality of looking out for other people. And he goes on to say in verse 8, if you possess these qualities and continue to grow in them, in other words, you just continue to grow, you won't excel at them. In fact, we never arrive. We never arrive. And let me let me disqualify this as well. And this does not mean you will satisfy everybody all the time. You cannot. But in your earnest efforts and intentions, he says, for if you grow and possess these qualities and grow in them, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What? So can I have knowledge about my Lord and Jesus Christ and be unproductive and ineffective? Remember when Jesus said to the men who wanted to know more about what he was doing and how they knew the scriptures and the law backwards and forwards, and he said, you ain't telling me nothing, that Satan does too. So we can know a whole lot of scripture. I know a lot of people that could quote. I encountered somebody who could quote the entire book of Philippians. I was like, ooh, that's impressive. But they were mean. I'm like, how are you going to quote the one book that talks about count it all joy, to be joyful, be celebrate, praise God, that all this, and you mean being ineffective and unproductive in their knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever lacks these traits, check this out, is nearsighted to the point of blindness, having forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. So a person that is hung up on what has happened to them, what someone did to them, how people treated them, how people are treating them, when they're hung, they can only see things as long as they're this close. But they don't see what the impact of their behavior is afar. Yes. Having forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins, therefore, brothers, strive to make your calling God's invitation to his God kind of life, his Zoe life, an election, the divine selection, the divine enablement for you to live his kind of life, to make it sure, to make it stable, to make it firm and a force. Be sure that people know who you are and not simply what you say. People will form judgment about you in your best intentions, but let your good reputation outweigh any negative word. If you practice these things, you will never stumble. What? Wait, hold on. God, you telling me, Peter, you telling me, by way of the Holy Spirit, that if I add these things to my faith, I will never stumble? What does he mean? Default in my faith. I might make mistakes, but I won't default in my faith. Even though I might have to take some detours, even though I might have to learn some lessons, if long as I stick with my faith and adding the excellence, adding the self-control, adding the perseverance, adding brotherly kind, adding godliness, adding all these things, as long as I stick with it, he will manifest what we were talking about earlier, above and beyond all that we could ask or think. See, oftentimes our gifting will take us someplace that our character can't keep us. Be concerned about your character, who you are, because that will sustain you. And you shall receive a lavish reception into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's talking about here, heaven. These are qualifications for heaven. All too often, we put people in heaven that really didn't make it. And it's going to be a thing to see. Now, our hope is that they did. Yes. Our hope is that they did. Yeah. But sometimes I think we'll probably be amazed at what we see when we get there. Amen. Now, saying that last week that faith is an innate quality within us. All of us have the measure of faith. We all have great faith. We all do. It's one measure. God distributed it to every mankind. The baby to the old person. We all have the measure of faith. Where you are today is the result of your faith. So if you're not happy with where you are today, check your faith thermometer. and reset it. But don't be discouraged. He tells us to never despise humble beginnings. Just pick yourself up and let's keep moving. Because even when you get to where you're trying to get to, there's somewhere else to get to. All right. So now, what's developed? Question number three. You know what? No, let me say this one thing that I put in here. One cannot know how to proceed because they may lack truth, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, kindness, and love. Being blind or unable to see, being certain of victory. When we, sometimes, we can believe God for victory in areas. But what he's saying this is when what he's saying here is when we don't add these things, and he's accusing us of being blind, nearsighted to the point of blindness, we tend to focus on what's directly in front of us. And when those problems show up, we're hyper-focused on the problem and not on the victory, which may seem afar off. There was an experiment done by a professor in a classroom, in a lecture room, a large lecture room, and he wrote an equation 10 times correctly. He wrote the same equation 10 times correctly, but an 11th time he wrote it incorrectly. And everybody started laughing and then and saying, you got it wrong, you got it wrong, you got it wrong. And the professor says, I knew I had it wrong. I did that on purpose. Let this be a life lesson. You can get 10 things right, but people will choose to major on that one thing you did wrong. That can trash the whole 10 things you did right. So be careful of your choices. Be careful of your choices. Okay, now the third question. What's developed when I'm being chastened or arrested by the Holy Spirit? What's being developed when I'm being chastened or arrested by the Holy Spirit? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, which was an example, because even Jesus endured chastening. Jesus endured the convicting of the Holy Spirit. And he said in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 12, we don't enjoy being disciplined. It always seems to cause more pain than joy. But later on, those who learn from that discipline have peace that comes from doing what is right. They have peace that comes from doing what is right. John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2 in God's Word translation says this. This is what Jesus is saying. He says that I am the true vine, and my Father takes care of the vineyard. He removes every one of my branches that doesn't produce fruit. He also prunes every branch that produces fruit to make it produce more fruit. So that sounds like a painful process, doesn't it? When you think about, you know, the flowers are in bloom right now. In the back of my house, I have these mini rose bushes that's aligning the windows. And I was looking at them the other day while I was outside by myself with the dog. While my husband and my daughter was in Italy. No, I'm just kidding. They needed that. She didn't. She don't, but he needed it. But anyway, while I was back there, I looked at the rose bushes. I said, oh, they need to be pruned. Because I could see some branches that wasn't really doing well. And then I looked at the trees, some trees that we had planted, and they weren't doing well. So I know I need to go and prune those lower branches off so that more nutrients can go to the parts that's growing. Because the parts that aren't producing the leaves and the foliage that's supposed to produce, they're obviously not being productive, and they're taken away from what needs to go to that which is growing. So I'm looking, and I was thinking, oh, wow, I got to go get the pruning shears. For some, I got to go get the saw, and I got to cut it away. And it seems to be a hurting or painful process, especially when we think about it. Think about what he's saying there. We're talking about what's developed when I'm being chastened. What's being developed is fruit. But God, Jesus says that I am the main vine. And my Father in heaven, he cuts off the branches that are growing from me that's not producing fruit. wait a minute, listen to what he's saying. He said you could very much be attached to Jesus, but not produce fruit. And when you choose not to exercise kindness, when you choose not to exercise love, when you choose not to exercise joy, when you choose not to exercise patience, endurance, all those things, peace, when you choose not to, because just like I told you, when I was in this situation with the police officer, I am calculating my assault. I am making a choice. I know that I could very well be arrested for this situation. Yet and still, because I felt like he was in violation, he violated me, I felt like I needed to do something, even though I knew what the consequences were. I'm making a choice. So when you are confronted with people and situations and disappointments, you possess the ability to make a choice. You can't say, I couldn't help it. You couldn't help it because there's been too much time feeding the flesh and the negativity and not enough time feeding the fruit of the Spirit. So you can be very much a Jesus believer. You could even quote scriptures. You could come to church every Sunday. But if you're not producing fruit, if you're that person that can quote the entire book of Philippians, but mean, judgmental, not producing fruit, he says God cuts it away. And listen, let me tell you how it happens. It's not that God is cutting you away. You are cutting yourself away. Because let me tell you how it happens. Hebrews chapter 12 said it plainly. Offense. When we don't sow fruit, guess what? We don't reap fruit. So when we're impatient with other people, we'll find other people being impatient with us. When we aren't kind to other people, we'll find people not being kind to us, or we'll feel like people aren't being kind to us. And so we align ourselves with being offended. And then when we're offended, we become divisive. And when we become divisive, we become destructive. And when we become destructive, then we become evil. So he says that branch is cut away. But he says, this is for the purpose of, and he also prunes every branch that produces fruit to make it produce more fruit. So he just cuts back some of the nubs so that the nutrients that's going into this vine, God's word, his Holy Spirit, we can, those of us that's producing fruit, he says, now we're able to produce more fruit. Now we're able to produce more fruit. Jesus must be the foundation of our beliefs, our behaviors, and even our benefits. Every good thing that you have was not the result, not only the result of your hard work. It was not only the result of your degrees. It was not only the result of the hookup. It was not only the result of how good and charming you are. God enabled situations and steps to be ordered so that you could walk in the divine favor of who he is, so that you can be in whatever good position that you are in. If it's good, it came from God. I know you're cute. I know you're smart. I know you work hard. I know it. I'm not taking away from your shine. But you can't shine without the one who's the shiner. Right? And so, If someone does not grow or produce fruit, God removes it. Every Christian should demonstrate a godly lifestyle that's recognized by others. Not because of what you present, but because of who you are. Oftentimes we present an agent on our behalf. We try to be, especially in the dating situation. Can I talk to you people who are dating? I got 9 minutes. Those of you who are single and you are dating or you want to date, be your authentic self. Because if someone don't, because you're authentic, you will show up at some point. You will show up at some point. Always shine bright. Listen, always shine bright, but shine bright to your authentic self. Do not send an agent on your behalf and stop trying to be what someone else, you think someone else needs you to be. Because more than likely, you might be engaging their inauthentic self. Right? And so if you show up as your authentic self, at least if someone don't like you, if someone doesn't like me, I'd rather them like not like me because of who I really am. I'm not about to try this and see if they like this and do and try this and I can't. I don't have enough energy. In fact, I'm not even smart enough to keep up with all those characteristics. I'm really not. I mean, no matter how hard I try to be what somebody else, what I think someone else wants me to be, I end up showing up at some point. I do, and I know I showed up. I'll be like, dog, did I really say that? I remember back at Rhema, we had, Rhema Bible College in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's where I went to ministry school, and Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And I was there, praise God, during the days of Brother Hagen. Dad Hagen is what we called him, and he would teach our classes. And, you know, there was a private section, and he was ministering to a few of us that stayed behind. I can't even remember the reason. And I was trying to be like, holy, I mean, like super righteous, like praying in the spirit under my breath. When a bush you do, I mean, I'm trying to be like super, super Christian. I don't even know what that means right now, but for lack of a better term, that's what I was trying. I'm trying to be like getting ready to. I'm like, Holy Spirit, give me the gift of prophecy. I want to flow in. I'm trying to do all this, and he said something. He said, do you hear that? And I was looking around at everybody else like, oh, they're hearing something I don't hear. I'm feeling all of a sudden very spiritually deficient. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, what is it? What is it? Holy Spirit, what is it? What are you doing? I'm praying in the spirit. I'm praying. And then he started laughing. He was like, I don't hear nothing. Be authentic to who you are. But let the who you are, let your authentic self constantly chase developing in the spirit. What does this mean? Pruning means God puts a demand on us to demonstrate that fruitful lifestyle, which means our demonstrated kindness and care for others. When we are fruitful in our lifestyle, listen, when you produce fruit, is the fruit for you? Who is the fruit for? Other people. So that's why Linked Up Church has connect groups. That's why Linked Up Church encourages you to serve on the dream team. Do you know how much community happens in the connect groups and the dream teams? It's interesting to me that when people have need, that when people show up that have need, those people that show up to the church that have some kind of need, oftentimes, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, so do not feel badly, but oftentimes when people show up that have need, when we look them up or find out a little bit more about them, oftentimes they're not in a dream team and they're not on a connect group. Right. Oftentimes they are not on a dream team or they are not in a connect group. So much community happens when you do life together. And that's the way of the Bible. That's the way. It wasn't the church that sold all their land and property to supply for one another. It was the people. It was the people that looked out for the other people. Right? There was no microphone or sound system when Jesus was preaching. So how did 4,000 people get saved? There was an echo. But when people missed it, they repeated what Jesus said so that the echo could continue. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23 in the Amplified. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us. If Holy Spirit is living within you, say, I am
born again.
Therefore, I am
full
of the Holy Spirit. He says, the result of his presence within us is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. Selah on that a little bit. Some of us are forced to wait, but when we waiting, we cutting up. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, verse 23, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, what? There is no law. God programmed this earth. He programmed humanity. Listen, oftentimes we blame God, but it wasn't that he's doing it to you right now in this instance. There is a program in the earth that responds a certain way to certain things. There's a program within you. Even evil people appreciate kindness. We are programmed to, he says, there is against such there is no law. We know the law of gravity, right? We know the speed of light, which is a law. We know the law of seed, time, and harvest. This all aligns with that very same law. He says, when we do these things, produce this fruit, against such there is no law. In other words, God himself has programmed the earth to yield a harvest of goodness to you when you do these things. Will life happen? Of course. There is still an enemy on the prowl, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I'm going to share this example very quickly as I get ready to close. We lived in Florida for 2 years in Orlando. We pastored there at a church called Faith Christian Center. Loved the people, loved pastoring there. If you know anything about Florida, it's full of people from everywhere. And so we had a church, a thriving, growing church. I mean, rapidly growing church while we were there. And for those of you, my Florida people, hey, love you. They still listen to us and come visit us to this day. But we had a church full of people from the islands, from Jamaica, St. Lucia, Haiti, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico. We had, I mean, they were from everywhere. You see, when I say it, I start talking like them again. And they all believed in having their gardens. And every around this season, they would bring us papaya, mango, oranges. They would bring us all kinds of fruit, wouldn't they? They just show up and like, you need some fruit? Because their fruit trees would be in abundance of fruit. And so I got in the habit of recognizing the seasons, and I would pay attention to the trees, because to me, when they're green, green is green. It looks like a tree. It's a tree. But then you start noticing when the season starts approaching, those tree branches that once stood tall and reached to the sky, as the fruit starts to grow, those branches became heavier and heavier and heavier. And the tree branches would start to weigh a little bit. And then as the tree branches began to weigh, you knew that it was about time to start harvesting. And the problem was that some trees didn't have a harvester, didn't have someone to come and get the fruit. And so those trees will end up getting weightier, because the more a fruit ripens on the tree, the heavier it gets. And after it gets past root, past ripening, what happens? They rot and fall off. You are trees, he said, planted by the rivers of God, of life. And you're supposed to, as a tree, you stand tall. In your salvation, you stand tall in your righteousness, you stand tall in your justification. And as you continue to grow, what should happen is that you develop fruit. And as you are developing this fruit, the branches should start weighing a little bit because life is coming at you. And it's not always easy to produce this fruit. God knows that, but that's why he says to persevere. But we continue to produce this fruit. And as the branches continue to get a little heavier, the goal now is for you to share that fruit with others. The goal is to share that fruit with others. But if you don't share that fruit with others, that fruit of love, kindness, peace, joy, long-suffering, if you don't share that fruit, then your branches after a while will get heavier and heavier, sometimes snap and break, but eventually the fruit will rot. And what I learned was that when fruit rots and it falls to the ground, some of it germinates. And what ends up happening, because there's too many seeds germinating the ground around the main tree, it ends up choking out the main tree. Don't be that tree that's been choked out because you failed to bear fruit with others. And I'm going to end right there. I'll pick it up second service. But what I really believe Holy Spirit wants you to know is that we are in a time where the church either has to shine bright. I'm not talking about linked up church. I'm talking about the church, his body of believers, the ecclesia. The ones that gathers together. He wants us to shine bright as the days go darker. But the reality is, there's going to be fewer and fewer people willing to shine for him. Because there are more and more people in the earth, in the church, that's being deceived for the sake of political correctness. For the sake of popularity, fear of cancel culture. And part of this being arrested by the Holy Spirit involves you being willing to be suffering for Christ. Martin Luther King was quoted as saying, and many others, you have to stand for something, otherwise fall for anything. I often say, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat rider any day. I'd rather step out on the water like Peter to experience his supernatural than to be safe in the boat because I don't trust him. So I admonish you, I'm encouraging you, doggone it, I'm begging you, to be the righteous light that you've been assigned to be. To be bold in the face of adversity. To stand tall in disappointments and afflictions. To attack by the word of God and kindness in the face of your enemies. And watch God show up and show out on your behalf. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you again for this opportunity to minister to your people. Holy Spirit, I believe that you've accomplished what you set out to accomplish. So right now, move on the hearts of your people. I pray that they leave this place being doers of your word and not just hearers only. That they'll carry this torch of the light of your word and allowing it to illuminate their lives within them. So they are known by your glory and not just by who they claim to be. But they are true agents of who you are. As they continue to grow in you, show yourself strong on their behalf as you said you would. Be their defender, their strong tower, their healer, and their deliverer. I thank you for these things, for you are faithful and true. We know you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. I trust that this message has touched your heart today. Listen, we don't claim to have all the answers, but we do know one answer, and his name is Jesus Christ. So if you don't have a personal relationship with him today, we want to invite you to do so. Or maybe you had one with him, but you've just gotten away. and you're desiring to come back to Christ today, I want to lead you in a simple prayer today. If you would, repeat this after me. Put your hand over your heart and say these words. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He died, rose from the grave, and He is alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. As a result of what I've confessed with my mouth and what I believe in my heart, I am right now born again and in right standing with God. In Jesus' name." Praise God. We are so excited for you. We believe that today is the first day of the rest of your life. Congratulations. We are so excited that you made the decision to get connected to God.
Thank you for listening today. If this message encouraged or inspired you in any way, please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app and leave a review too. For past messages, updates, and more, please visit us at linkedupchurch.com or download the Linked Up Church app. You can also watch live services, view past messages, and see our dynamic content for children, youth, and teens on our Facebook and YouTube pages. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Linked Up Church. And if you would like to support more of what we're doing, you can give online at linkedupchurch.com or text Get Connected to 94000. Thanks again for listening. Have an amazing week, and we look forward to connecting with you.